behind the scenes at Score North and 1500 ESPN have sports opinions.
So they want you to hear them.
It's the perfect digital sports soapbox to scratch that Minnesota sports itch. This is the Score North Taxi Squad.
Is Kirk Cousins about to leave the Minnesota Vikings for the Atlanta Falcons? Welcome into the Score North Taxi Squad, everyone. My name is Jason Stormer, joined along Artis Woods. AJ Fredrickson is back this week, and we're also thankfully joined by MyTalk 1071's Grant Wangstern. Gentlemen, I have a sneaking suspicion that the Minnesota Vikings may be looking for a new quarterback in 2024 based off all the crazy reports going on about Kirk Cousins over the last week. Me and Artis recorded last week, and we basically did a BS meter about all the rumors that are circulating with the Minnesota Vikings, whether we believe them or not. I feel like, Artis, we could probably do that again this week with just all the crazy stuff that's going on, even beyond Kirk Cousins. But guys, I don't know. I'm feeling a little nervous that number eight's maybe going to the ATL. What have your guys' reactions kind of been to just the whirlwind of reports surrounding Kirk Cousins over the last week?
Don't be nervous. This is good.
I love time. But I love how you're nervous now when you didn't want him in the first place.
Oh, you're talking to me.
Yeah.
Well, that is me trying to hype up the show a little bit and draw people in, you know what I mean? That's not necessarily a representation of my true opinion. I just want a lot of people to come in and join us for this wonderful discussion of Minnesota Vikings football and Minnesota sports.
Rocking the hoodie, too.
Yeah, thank you. My fourth quarter. I'm guessing this might be the last time I get to wear this. Well, Kirk Cousins is a member of the Minnesota Vikings, so it's our fourth quarter comeback sweatshirt. I love it. Maybe I'll wear it again next week if maybe there is a plot twist and Kirk Cousins actually does re-sign with the Minnesota Vikings and does give us a hometown discount. But guys, based off the fact that we had this report that Arthur Blank basically said that he's willing to give a blank check to Kirk Cousins, I don't necessarily see Kirk Cousins taking a hometown discount. I think he's as good as gone. What do you guys think?
I think it's good.
Okay, if you think it's good, what's the solution?
I think you drop the quarterback.
Everybody thinks this is all great and dandy, but what are we going to do?
I think at the end of the day, I think this is good for money reasons. I think this is good for potential championship reasons. You know, I saw a report today that I said Justin Jefferson is like, you know what, it is what it is, whatever decision you guys go with. If we agree on a deal, we agree on a deal. And I think ultimately—
You mean a deal with him or a deal with—
A deal with Justin Jefferson.
Okay, okay.
And don't quote me on that, because I can't remember exactly where that quote came from or that report, but I know it was a reliable source. But anyway, I say all that to say, you know, we knew what the ceiling was for Kirk Cousins at a certain point, and I think we had reached that ceiling multiple times. We saw him win a playoff game, but for the most part, we saw him drop playoff games, most notably last year, where, you know, he threw the ball 3 yards and it was supposed to go eight and all of that, you know. Yeah. We saw the good, we saw the bad, but we ultimately found out over time that he was not going to be the piece that helps the Vikings win a championship. And I think now, in today's day and age, everybody's going with the rookie quarterback, or at least going with the quarterback on a rookie scale contract. You got the 11th pick this year. Whether you move up or not, that's up to you. Whether a quarterback is there, we'll see. But I think that ultimately, I think you draft a replacement quarterback right now in the draft. Listen, I said this last week and I'll say it again. I ain't mad at Russell Wilson. I'm not mad at giving Russell Wilson a call for a little bit. I think he played well last season. I did.
He's only going to cost you like $2 million too.
I'm just a super cheap deal. I don't mind that fit for the next couple of years, depending. I don't know how much longer he wants to play, but I like that as an option. I like a backup quarterback as an option. I know Justin Fields was thrown out there a little bit. Yeah. I'm not so sure how I feel about that. I'm kind of indifferent about that. But I do think at this point in time, it's good because it's time to move on from Kirk, especially at the amount of money he's asking for. It's unreasonable. So that's what I think.
I like it.
Yeah, we had the report from Bill Barnwell a couple weeks ago that he's looking for $51 million. The Falcons are just all in on this. We've had plenty of reports, like I said, the Arthur Blank thing basically telling his executives, do whatever you can to get Kirk Cousins here. Mike Florio basically saying that he didn't name his sources, obviously, but he went on, I believe, Monday morning saying, you know, I got pretty credible steam that Kirk Cousins is preparing to move his family down to Atlanta. Apparently, him and his wife have already looked at houses down there as well, but I think that's something that the Cousins did even before they signed with the Vikings. They were looking at houses in New York and other places too. So I think this is just protocol for Kirk Cousins, which the man loves business, man. He loves going about his business, likes having a strategic plan, and then he likes executing that plan. I'm not surprised by any of this. And nor am I surprised that guys is very likely is not going to take a hometown discount. I thought that the likelihood of that happening was pretty much slim to none from the beginning. If maybe Kirk didn't get hurt, and if maybe also they made some noise in the playoffs, okay, maybe I could see Kirk Cousins having a rethinking about just how he wants to strategize his off seasons, about how much money he particularly wants to make. But I think because he got hurt, and because, you know, there's nothing guaranteed with a 36-year-old quarterback who's coming off an Achilles injury, I'm just not surprised we're in this position where the Cousins are putting themselves in a position to get paid and to also get that guaranteed money as well. This is just, I know Vikings fans, a lot of Vikings fans were hoping that he would do what Patrick Mahomes has done and what Tom Brady did. But
Patrick Mahomes took a hometown discount.
Oh, he's adjusted his contract plenty of times.
Yeah,
hasn't he
adjusted, but he still took $500 million. They're working it with the cap, but he still signed a $500 million.
Okay, but I'm still guessing Patrick Mahomes down the road is willing to be more cap friendly and help his team out a little bit more than Kirk Cousins.
But my question
done.
To so, you is you were going on about, if this Arthur Blank thing wasn't a situation, because it seems to be the only team interested really in giving him a so-called blank check, no pun intended, if that wasn't the case, do you think he would be interested in a hometown discount? Because right now, the only steam behind him going anywhere is Atlanta. AJ, you can jump in on this with this question too, because we haven't heard from you yet, but I'm here to ask questions. I'm not going to, I've got one opinion that I'm going to give on this later, but I want to hear. So if this Arthur Blank thing wasn't around, do you think he still would be considering not necessarily a hometown discount, but do you think there would be more of a, I still think he's going to be hitting free agency regardless of the,
for sure,
of the Arthur Blank situation. Cause like you said, he's a businessman. He's going to seek out all of his options. But I think with this blank check thing, this takes away the hometown discount. I don't even think that it might have even been a thing. But if this wasn't there, do you think there still would be more steam about him staying here?
For I thought you were acknowledging the tribal chief Roman Reigns with that.
I want to jump in with the question, my man.
Think about like when he first came here, right? Traded, so he didn't really have much of a say. But then it was that, I believe it was the first extension that he had with the Vikings, where you see this released kind of behind the scenes footage of him on the phone with, I want to say at the time it was the New York Jets, that he was heavily linked to, where he, and I'm paraphrasing here, but essentially he gets off the phone. He's like, you know, God, we were able to use the Jets to increase the bid by the Vikings. You know, I'm happy to be in Minnesota, but we were able to maximize the contract here. Cause frankly, and I'll give Kirk and his team credit on this, he might be one of the greatest sports negotiators I've ever seen.
For sure.
Like, this guy is able to talk, like he could sell a ketchup popsicle to a woman in white gloves. Like,
nice quote.
Thank you.
Nice quote. Love that.
He's incredible. Okay. He's incredible in the boardroom. I wish he was maybe as good on the field, because then when he was brought in originally to win that Super Bowl, the Vikings might have it, but he wasn't able to do it. And now we're at a point where he's going to be 36 years old. He's coming off a torn Achilles, and he's demanding this amount of money, which I guess we don't exactly know specifics here yet, but the fact that there is holdups and we haven't seen him, you know, come back to this state and play with the Vikings in a town that, I mean, I feel like has really grown to him. Sure, there are critics, and I think they're absolutely warranted to be critics, but at the same time, who else could embrace Kirko chains? Who else could embrace the Kohl's cash loving dad dressing Kirk Cousins that I think the town of Minneapolis, the state of Minnesota, has come to love? The fact that he's not back here already tells me that he's out the door and he's using the Vikings as a leverage tool for a potential deal to cash out. And I don't blame him on that, because I'm not going to blame any athlete for capitalizing on their wealth. Football is a very tough game. We know how aggressive he's been hit. The fact that he really has not had a significant injury in his career until this year is pretty remarkable. And the fact that it was kind of just a non-contact, he went down, torn Achilles, I think speaks more to like how well he is at just taking those hits over the years. So I don't blame him. It's a short career. Make as much as you can, set yourself up. Cause do you really see Kirk Cousins with his personality getting on like First Take in the morning to talk with Stephen A. Smith? No, He might be like a desk analyst, but on a table of six other guys who can kind of chime in with more personality. I think he has the insight, but not the personality. So I don't really know what there is for him after the game of football, other than maybe like running QB camps.
I think $260 million that he already has is waiting for him.
Give him some credit now, because those dance moves he put on at the NFL awards with that Achilles, are you kidding me? Dancing with the Stars is in this man's future. If Adrian Peterson can do Dancing with the Stars, Kirk Cousins can do Dancing with the Stars. Yes, I can't believe AP, he needs money anyway. AJ.
But with that too, and think about, like, do you think these videos of him like in a gym showing off his like, you know, take a snap, 5-step drop? Do you think those are released if he isn't testing the market? No. The Vikings would know by now of how far along he is in his recovery. He's testing the market. I think he's going other places. And the fact that he's still like dangling the carrot in front of the Vikings is more of a leverage to get another team to up their ante, AKA Arthur Blank and the Falcons. So, it was talked about on Purple Daily too. I mean, think about Julie Cousins, his wife, I think, is from the Atlanta, Georgia area. Her family and a lot of their family resides there. It's kind of more close to home. And when we talk about hometown discount, I feel like you actually need to be grounded and, like, in a sense, embraced as a member of that hometown to even think about that in the first place. I don't think he considers himself a Minnesotan. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe that's just outlandish, but I don't think he... Other than the fact that he currently owns a property in somewhere in Minnesota, I don't think he would ever, consider himself a Minnesotan. I think,
but he fits in with our vibe here versus like LA or New York, like the Coles
Cash. You can do that in Cleveland, Ohio.
You
can do that in any blue collar town, anywhere you got blue collar folk, which is everywhere in America, even in Atlanta too, down south for sure. Kirk Cousins is going to relate to people down there, sure.
I think he's out the door, and it's just a matter of that tampering period coming around before we get a little more details.
Yeah, funny about that video, too, about him throwing on the tennis court. I believe that video was dropped either the night before or the morning of the first day of the combine. Funny how the timing works and kind of all that stuff. He looks good, though. Looks good. I bet he's a good racquetball player, Kirk Cousins. I don't know.
Now that we've kind of all agreed that we don't think he's coming back, I'm going to agree with you guys on this. Mm-hmm. Question. You kind of answered it. Mm-hmm. You said draft at 11. Okay, my personal opinion, if you're going to let him go, two things need to happen. And I said this to AJ earlier. One, they have to have someone in the ranks to play quarterback. I don't want to start a quarterback fresh off of a rookie year. I know that that's the great way to do it if you can get 4 years on a rookie contract, but not everybody gets Jalen Hurts. Not everybody gets Patrick Mahomes. Even Patrick Mahomes sat for 2 years.
Yeah. But not everybody gets CJ Stroud.
Exactly. CJ Stroud, that's the better example. I want a guy that can sit for a couple. And I want a guy that can, so that Russell Wilson idea, possibly a good one, you know, to kind of mentor if we're going to have like a mediocre rebuild or whatever. But I want us to jump up if we're going to, I don't want us drafting at 11 for our future quarterback.
That's fair.
We better be trading. And that means there's some assets that need to be traded. And we can get to that conversation
later.
Let me
ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you want Kirk gone?
No. I don't.
Interesting. So this is why he's talking like this, Sean.
Yeah, no, I don't want him gone. I understand that he's going to leave. I understand the situation. I don't want him gone.
So why?
Let me keep the questions rolling there then. Grant, do you believe in your heart of hearts that Kirk Cousins with this roster, with a massive 20% salary cap, whatever, can win a Super Bowl with the Minnesota Vikings?
Not with the current team called the Kansas City Chiefs out there. No, I do not. No.
Do you think they can get to the Super Bowl though? Because you don't have to go through Kansas City to get to the Super Bowl.
If you have to get to the Super Bowl in the NFC, absolutely. I believe we could get there, even though I still think this is going to sound stupid, but we're not the best team in our division. But I think in the NFC, you can get to a Super Bowl, but I don't think you can beat Kansas City.
You do not believe that. With Kirk?
With Kirk,
with Kirk
and Justin Jefferson and the fresh...
Need some popcorn.
Why not? I mean, you guys just said he was playing his best football until he got hurt. We have not seen... Now, yes, he's coming off an injury.
Yes.
He is coming off an injury. I want a guy that's a little bit... Obviously, we all want a guy that's a little bit more mobile.
Right.
But what... Okay, we've been in this mediocre rebuilding stage for how many damn years? My point is either rebuild or commit. And if you can't commit, there's no free agents out there other than Kirk that are going to give you a better option right now.
Baker Mayfield?
I don't want Baker Mayfield.
You don't want
Even though he played really good ball last year.
I mean, Baker's not going anywhere because Mike Evans re-signed with the Bucs. Yeah, no. That deal will get done.
It will.
But that wouldn't even intrigue you right there?
It would. It would if we're going to save money and then go up and trade somebody that I hope we get to talk about later and go up to maybe number 2, 3, or 4 and get somebody at quarterback. I don't want to be drafted at 11. So going back to your question, now I know it sounds completely obnoxious. I do think that this team is in a good position to win with Kirk Cousins. Now, win a Super Bowl? Probably not, because I don't think anybody's beaten Kansas City. I don't think that we're going to go through this amazing run and get to the Super Bowl in the next 2 years. No. But what if we trade one of our big assets, keep Kirk down the road, get that quarterback, and then make that run?
So that means
my question is, if you don't want to draft a quarterback at 11, you want to move up. If you bring Kirk back, you're not going to have the 11th pick anytime soon. You're not going to be that high in the draft.
Not anytime soon. That's why you move up now. That's why I was saying there's somebody might.
So
you might
you bring Kirk back and you move up and grab a guy.
I don't think you can do that. That's too much asset allocation. You can't.
You can't. If you're guaranteeing, Jefferson.
We don't want to.
We won 6 games without him or 5 games without him this year.
Oh my god!
I know this is just not healthy.
No, I don't want to do it.
I believe you won 6 games this past year without Justin Jefferson in the lineup because Jordan Addison stepped in and had a really good rookie season.
That's great.
What we don't know about Addison yet is if he's going to, one, remain healthy for this entire time like Justin Jefferson has for the most part. We also don't know if he's going to continue this level of consistency and ascend. He could easily have a down next 2 years for all we know.
100%.
What we do know is Justin Jefferson is that guy. He's the best in the league.
I agree.
And so my thing is, I just don't think I feel at ease letting go of Kirk before letting go of Justin Jefferson.
Oh, 100%.
I agree with that. But.
So let me ask you this, Grant. If we do get rid of Kirk, would you also just be fine with trading JJ? Because that basically is you're basically doing the full reset button doing that.
I want to
purge as many big potential contracts off your books so you have a ton of cap space in like 2 or 3 years.
When was the last time we did that?
Before the Wilfs owned the team?
Maybe when we traded Randy Moss away? Yeah, I mean, other than that, there hasn't been a true... Because we've always had these bridge quarterbacks. There hasn't been a true rebuild couple years where it's like, let's get a couple low round.
Ponder a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah, you're right.
A little bit. But that was not intentional. Those were not intentional rebuilds. Ponder was so bad we just had to do it. We were forced into it.
I know I'm kind of going back and forth here because I do want to keep Kirk. It's just not going to happen with the money. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. This is all devil's advocate. I know we're not going to keep him. I want to keep him because I do want to see what he can do when he was playing his best ball. Will he be better than last year? Probably not, but the intrigue is there because we never got to see it come to fruition. He went down.
But did we, though?
But
where did we see the best of Kirk Cousins as a Minnesota Viking back in 2020 when he beat the Saints?
Not with Jordan Addison if he comes back next year. Not with Justin Jefferson. And then you got... You know, we've got now.
But he was thrusted in this situation when he first got here with Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen.
That was his best team. That was his best team.
And didn't get it done.
But he was a different quarterback. I would say 1,000% a different quarterback when he came here in 2019 than he is a year ago.
AJ, you had something to say.
I just don't know where the intrigue is about a guy in his career. He's 16-47 against teams over 500.
Okay, great stat. I appreciate that. I mean,
he lost
every Monday night football game. He lost last year's play. I mean, we could go down those stats all day long.
He's just not great against good teams. That's what it is. Like,
San Francisco 49ers this year, you know.
They had like two of their best players out, though.
They did. Well, yeah, they had Samuel was out, Debo.
And I believe, was Trent out?
No, Williams.
Oh, yeah, I think. Trent was out.
Yeah. Okay. Yep,
still a big win, though. That was still a big win.
It was.
But that was when they were struggling. And Cleveland beat them, too, that previous week.
Very
so
true.
They were down. That's a little stretch there. My bad.
Yeah, no,
but I like your point there, AJ. I'm just trying to say, like, everybody in town here is so, like, let's move on. What's the solution? Like, what's the true solution?
Justin
here?
Fields? Trey Lance?
I like the Justin Fields. I know you said that that's a possible, like, you were talking about that earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of like that.
Which one again? Sorry?
Justin Fields.
Okay.
Trey Lance is, I haven't seen enough
How
of Trey
are we
going to
trade enough. Into the division,
that's,
though?
Well, we've done it.
And are the Bears stupid enough to do that?
I was gonna say
and
Bears,
we already kind of had that bite us in the ass with the Lions a couple years ago.
We've done it. Will the Bears do it? I don't know. We've done it twice.
I don't know. I mean, the Bears have already, like, given away their hand, though. They're not going to get nearly the value that they probably could have a few months ago for Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know, they probably couldn't have traded him yet. But it just seems like I know they're probably going to draft Caleb Williams and the Bears will be
they are.
Fine after that. They're but better. It's still funny how it's still like the Bears are kind of going to kind of Bears a little bit. And you can still just see there's a little bit of ineptitude there, which is what they're doing. Because they haven't really handled this Justin Fields situation well at all. And now I think at best they'll get a second round pick. That's, which is yeah, a second round pick for Justin Fields? Oh man, I'm tempted. I'm very tempted by that. You'll get you'll have to give up less for Trey Lance. What yeah. was it, like a fourth round pick to Dallas? I don't even know if you have to give up a fourth round pick if you want Trey Lance. But
have
I know
we
like
seen enough of Trey?
No. Has anyone?
No.
Technically, has anyone? We'd have to go up to Fargo to get the real tape on the guy, yeah. honestly. But I know, like, Rich Eisen, he's thrown out Lance a ton. He's been throwing out Lance even before the season ended. And I don't know if Rich Eisen's a really connected guy, and he runs 40-yard dashes every single season in a suit, so I'm assuming he's pretty smart. But I don't know if he just has a little bit more extra steam just on just who really, really likes Trey Lance. And the Vikings have kind of been on the top of the list, but I'm not at all confident rolling into next season with Trey Lance as our starting quarterback, even if we draft the guy. I just don't.
Yeah,
that
I'm with you.
I feel like Trey Lance will end up somewhere where he's a backup again. And like,
is he still on a one? Or is he still signed under contract?
I think he's still
Dallas?
Under contract. I think he's still technically under his rookie contract that he signed with the 49ers. And I think he's got one more year on that. Yes, because yeah. He's not an unrestricted free agent by any means.
So let me pose this question now.
Yes.
What?
You got a lot of great questions, by the way.
Why? Okay, so if we're moving on from Kirk, mm-hmm. and the draft question, who do we want to draft later? Who is, you said Russell. We mm-hmm. talked about Fields. You talked about Trey. What is the most realistic thing? Are we going to draft, if we're not doing Kirk, Kirk's out the door. Kirk's gone. Let's just start there. Yeah. Are we going to draft, and are we going to start the rookie quarterback, or are we going to go get that bridge quarterback for just a couple years to let this rookie sit? And who would that quarterback be? That's kind of what I'm curious at all of your thoughts on that.
We'll draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
We won't let him start right away.
I like it.
Unless we move up and it's Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, or Drake May. I think the Vikings would be willing to start one of those three guys in week one. Obviously, training camp has to go through and everything like that. But if it's J.J. McCarthy, if it's Bo Nix, if it's Michael Penix, I forget who other names
I
are.
I really like Penix, man. I've been seeing
yeah.
him for a
oh,
while.
Yeah.
Big fan of Penix,
but,
man.
But I got a bet to I got a bet. I got to win against AJ, though. That's I need right. Bo Nix to get drafted over
right.
Michael
I was
Penix.
Here for that one.
So you got to root for me on that one, Artis. If that's the case, if you draft one of those other guys, McCarthy, one of the lower guys that still might be end up being first round picks anyway, then go ahead and get that bridge quarterback that isn't as sexy of a name, obviously, like Baker Mayfield, maybe yeah. even Russell Wilson. These are like the Jacoby Brissett kind of guys
yeah.
that I'd be more open oh, yeah. to. Yeah, Jacoby Brissett is out there. Not necessarily Zach Wilson. I wouldn't be too confident in that. Zach Wilson should go be a backup quarterback somewhere. Maybe even, I don't know, I think Gardner Minshew also might be a free agent.
I just talked to AJ about that today.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Plenty of starting experience there. Almost got the Colts to the playoffs. So that's what I would think. If Kirk does leave, Grant, I think that is the most likely scenario.
Yeah.
You draft a guy. You likely don't trade up to get into the top three. You'll probably get McCarthy, Penix, or Nix. You don't let them start right away unless, you know, you have an injury situation happen. You get a bridge quarterback, not one of the sexy names, not Baker Mayfield, and obviously not Kirk Cousins. He's not going to be your bridge quarterback either. So,
AJ.
Let's go AJ.
So if they're stepping away from Kirk Cousins, I think that they could potentially feel out that first night of the draft. I'm big on JJ McCarthy.
Really?
I think
Ooh, that's
I know
he had a great combine.
He's had a good combine, and I know that you're gonna say it, like a lot the narrative around him is like he didn't really throw in college, and he didn't, you know. But the problem right. was he's in an offense and in a team that ran the ball so damn good that yep. he didn't need to throw the ball. But the thing is, now at the combine, we're seeing him. He threw the, I think he clocked the hardest thrown ball, 61 miles per hour.
Ooh.
He's hitting guys in stride. He's looking the part. Like, he does have an arm. And it sounds like he's kind of got the intangibles too. Now, granted, it's tough because you're just going based off of like one writer telling another like former player what they heard from like an interview or whatever. So there's only so much we can know, because it's just at the end of the day, these are kids that are in Indianapolis running and throwing and jumping and stuff. So it's like, how much can you actually tell? But you're just not going to get this like deep, I think, of a quarterback class, and where the Vikings are, they're in a good spot to either move up a little bit or have somebody fall to them. Or in the case of Michael Penix, who I still like, yeah, it sounds like you could potentially get him in the second round now, which
really?
Is
yeah. Insane. Really? And he had a great combine too. He had he tested well. The injury things weren't an issue, it sounded like, at the combine, and yet still he's still having a hard time breaking in the first round.
Wow. Yeah. So the draft is so weird, because like I could say this now and then he's gonna go like 14th or something, because you know that's just how that's gonna work. Or you know, he could slip. And when it comes down to it, you're gonna draft somebody. You're gonna go out and try to acquire one of these free agent kind of bridge guys, whether it's a Baker Mayfield. Honestly, I know he's kind of a joke amongst like casual fans and whatnot, but how about a Sam Darnold?
I don't mind the Sam Darnold take.
I like it better than Zach Wilson. That's for sure.
Yes, he's not good by any means, but my point is, do you want to be good? If you're not bringing back Kirk Cousins, is this the year that you want to be good? I don't think so, because you can go out and you get these guys. You want to go maybe sign some defensive pieces. You want to help out Brian Flores. But the thing is, for how this competitive rebuild has gone for the Vikings, and I say that because that's the term that was thrown around, they have accomplished the same amount of Super Bowl, like end game victories as the Detroit Lions, the Chicago Bears over this recent stint, where those teams have just been god awful. And now look who's on the up and up. The Chicago Bears, they have a lot of assets. They're on the upswing. They have talent. They're going to be young. They're going to build. It still might take some time, but it looks like they're heading in a very solid direction under Ryan Poles. And look at the Detroit Lions. They haven't won anything for like generations. And now
both those teams,
look at them. Like, look at them. Right. Just look at them now.
But that's years of being bad and getting good draft picks, which we have been mediocre good for years and never set ourselves up for a good draft pick.
We never pick, except for this year, like lower than 15th.
Right.
It seems like for the last
15
years.
The problem is, too, is that you have to hit on these draft classes.
Yes.
And we haven't been.
Detroit,
see, that's just it, Grant. The Lions have been bad for years, too, but they screwed up a bunch of their own draft picks, except for Matt Stafford and Calvin Johnson.
True.
And this is where part of it comes down to like Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and his front office. Where it's like, sure, you can get all these picks and you can trade all these assets and acquire all these, you know, these values. But if you're not going to make anything out of it, what's the point? You know, why are you running the franchise? And I'm not saying I don't like Kwesi. I'm not saying that. I think he probably has the right vision, and it's probably just been a stroke of dumb luck or bad luck, I should say, up to this point.
Yeah.
But bad luck is the term I meant to say there. But you need to start hitting on some of these draft picks. You know, you can say, but he got Jordan Addison. Well, you know, frankly,
Jordan fell.
If you didn't pick him there, you should have been fired. There was really nobody else to go
right,
with.
Thank you.
That was the most obvious of any GM's choice ever. So when it comes down to it, he needs to start doing his part, and that's where the rest of the team is going to start doing theirs. You have to start looking at being bad. To steal from Ross Brendel, who works down the hall from all of us, get good. It's okay.
Thank you. Yes.
It's okay to not have a good season. Do you really think that the people of Minnesota are just going to abandon the team? We're not going to go to any games. We're not going to turn on our TVs on Sunday just because, they're 3-7 now. Oh, we're 2-8. I'm not going to watch it. They're going to, if anything, they're going to want to watch more, because then it's going to be that much sweeter the next time they win 12 games, get to the playoffs, and go on a run. You know, it's just one of those things where you have to start taking yourself seriously and not sit in the middle where it's, we're just going to wait. And this is where the stroke of dumb luck comes in. oh, that team got hurt, so now that opens the door for us because we're getting hot at the right time, and oh, we have to have all the pieces fall together in the right area. No, this is not a game of Tetris, okay? You can't just hope for the long block piece so that you can finally hit your Tetris. This is a game of chess.
Great line.
Right? This is chess. You're able to be better than the other people simply by being smarter in the front office and putting a better team on the field. And that starts, honestly, in the draft and getting better picks by being somewhat bad. You don't have, I'm not saying be like horrible. A laughing stock. Yeah.
Right.
League,
no, right.
But think about if they lose one more game this year, they're picking sixth.
Sixth. Yeah.
If that's they lose big... that stinker, if you stinker of a game down in Vegas, you're picking
Vegas. Just about to say. Yes. Just about to say.
Oh, gosh.
Josh Dobbs doesn't pull a game out of his rear end, you're picking sixth.
I know. Right. Right. We're all high on Dobbs.
If Dobbs doesn't beat the Falcons.
I knew Dobbs eventually was going, you know. Well, actually, let me take that back. I just was like, we should move on from Dobbs when he started playing bad. But I was a fan. I have an interesting take.
Let's hear it.
I'm not, with the way that defense performed last year, if you don't re-sign Kirk Cousins and you have extra money to spend on defense, depending on who you bring in at quarterback, whether it be a solid rookie or Russell Wilson or whoever you guys would want to bring in at that quarterback position, I'm not sure about Sam. I'm just not a fan of Sam. Maybe Fields, we'll see. But depending on who you bring in, I'm not sure the Vikings would be bad. I think, honestly, they could win a division, and I think they could make a run because they'll have that extra money to spend on the defensive side of the ball. If you bring back Justin Jefferson, you still have Jefferson, Addison, and Hockenson. Your offensive line is decent, and you could even improve the offensive line with the money you'll have available. I'm not sold on the idea of them even being bad, depending on if they hit on the draft, if they get the right guy at quarterback. I think they would be good, which is why I'm like, definitely move on from Kirk. But the team that they have in place right now is good for a quarterback that's not that is going to outperform his contract. The reason why obviously it doesn't work with Kirk is because of the money. You're basically bringing back almost the same team. You may or may not be able to re-sign JJ. Who knows what that situation will look like. But with him in that offense, we all speculate, well, you know, if Kirk was back in that offense, who knows the ceiling that they would have? Well, just imagine you take Kirk off, but you have more money to spend, and you add a quarterback in that can get it done in that offense. I see a team that can make a playoff run. Now, the defense, again, has to play as well as it just played.
Yeah.
If not, play better. But I like Brian Flores, and I like what they have in place.
How about him not getting any offers?
I don't agree with it, but in the case of the Vikings, I like it because he did a sensational job last season with a defense that was terrible the season before, had him playing lights-out football at certain parts of the season this year. He had his meltdowns here and there as a defense, but overall played really well or really coached really well. I think if you get a Russell Wilson in, who I really think can still play really good ball, I saw a lot of flashes this past season. I think if you bring in even a Justin Fields, you put weapons around Fields and give him a head coach like KLC who could really scheme it up, I think the Vikings could make a run.
I like Fields.
But they just have to, they have to make the right moves in free agency and get guys to come to Minnesota.
Yeah.
And that's just it, too. Fields isn't a bridge quarterback, obviously.
And that was my other thought, too. One of the biggest reasons why I'm hesitant on Fields is, like, again, he's not a bridge. He could come in and excel, and then you have Fields, and you have this rookie quarterback that you drafted that you are hoping to bring in as a starter, and you don't know what to do with now. Because now Fields is excelling with, you know, the weapons that you have and with KFC. So that's why, and I feel, even though I'm not the biggest fan of Sam Darnold, I feel a similar way about him. What if he comes and he really excels? Well, then you have a rookie quarterback who you thought was going to play at some point, but turns out you might have to move him now. Yeah. So it's kind of a waste, you know, I won't say a waste of a pick because you'll get something back from him if that were to happen. But in a way, I mean, you didn't get the talent that you wanted in this draft, and this is the highest pick you've had in forever. Yeah. So I
apologize. I'm pointing on the screen right now. If you look at the TV, gentlemen, a Purple Daily commercial is on channel 45 at the moment. There's Judd, there's Declan, cool. there's Phil. Yeah. Look at all that. I didn't know we had a TV commercial going. That was sweet.
I just missed it.
It's airing for all 14 games of the boys' state hockey or something like that.
That's cool. Let's go.
It's airing during every game of the boys' state hockey tournament.
Love it. That was good.
Purple Daily's reach is unprecedented, gentlemen.
Good eye.
Nowhere in the world can you not find Purple Daily. on your smartphone, your TV, on your computer, wherever. But this is the Score North Taxi Squad, by the way, and we've just been diving deep into a bunch of crazy, reckless speculation with Kirk Cousins potentially on his way to Atlanta. Gentlemen, I'm guessing this time next week we will know. We will know definitively where Kirk Cousins is, and I think by default we will also know what exactly the Minnesota Vikings plan will be, too. The other thing I want to touch on with the Vikings really quick is that I'm kind of worried that no matter what happens with Kirk Cousins, this seems to be an inevitability. I don't know if Danielle Hunter's coming back, guys.
He's gone.
I thought I heard that Ben Gesslin said something. I thought I saw on Twitter, I think it was on a radio show, basically saying, yeah, I don't think he's coming back. He's obviously a reporter for the Vikings. I've heard that the Bears and the Lions might be the leaders in the clubhouse to sign him. Say it ain't so. That would literally be the worst thing ever, but how awesome would that be for those two football teams? Montez Sweat and Danielle Hunter for the Bears, Aiden Hutchinson and Danielle Hunter for the Lions. It would be devastating for the NFC North. I know. I'm terrified. I'm so worried. I hope he goes to the Jaguars because that's the other team that has also been in the mix. But honestly, guys, I mean, we talk about hoping that this defense improves next season. If Danielle Hunter leaves, though, man, I don't know what we're going to do about
that. The salary cap solidified him going. That just brought...
But if we have money, if Kirk opens up some money, if he leaves and we got money, I don't know. There might be now money to pay Danielle. I just think because of his second contract was such a disaster, it was poorly negotiated. I think Danielle, even more so than Kirk, wants to break the bank with this contract. I don't know if he's quite yet 30 years old, but he's coming off arguably one of the best seasons of his career. He was in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year pretty much all season long. I'm more worried that Danielle is gone more so than Kirk Cousins is 100%. Gone, gentlemen.
Yeah, I agree. I would agree.
Anybody care to elaborate on that statement further?
I mean, it's sad. It's sad. It sucks because he's our guy. He's and especially on a defensive line that is kind of weak in my eyes. You know, we have a good coach that made, you know, lipstick on a pig. You know, that whole concept. That's I think our coach made our defense look a lot better than it really is. And if you lose Danielle. And DJ Wonnum played so well last year.
Who was also a free agent.
I don't know. I want to focus on the defense, but I feel like with this new cap announcement and the money amount of money that now teams have to spend, he's a goner for sure. But like you said though, if we get rid of Kirk, we could keep him, and that would be awesome. I don't know.
But if he's gone, I mean, Artis and I believe AJ said this as well, it makes the draft that much more important that you got to hit on these picks. And maybe besides quarterback in the first round, I would not be surprised if picks, you know, or rounds 2, 3, and 4, the Vikings heavily address the defense in those rounds. If and who knows, maybe there's a run on quarterbacks in the first round. Like there is a chance that JJ McCarthy, I've even seen mock drafts where JJ McCarthy is going to the Falcons. I don't think those have been published in the last 24 hours or so, so I don't think that's actually going to happen, so I think we can rule that one out. But I've even saw that maybe there are some teams out there that now are potentially going to look to leapfrog the Vikings at 11 because they know that Kirk Cousins is gone and that they're going to pick a quarterback. See, that's the only problem with kind of all this whole situation, guys, is it does show the hand of maybe what the Vikings are going to do by having free agency before the draft, and especially when, you know, it's Kirk Cousins that is the free agent. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. It's been so fun to just dive right back into just all this Viking stuff the last couple weeks. Obviously, we still got a basketball team that we need to talk about, gentlemen, and we'll probably wrap the show up by talking about your Minnesota Timberwolves having probably one of the more tumultuous weeks, I would say. They just got wrapped up with a 7-game homestand, which you'd think, all right, 7-game homestand, especially a little bit after the All-Star break. This should bode well for the Minnesota Timberwolves. But they ended with a 4-3 record, they ended the homestand with a win against the Portland Trail Blazers. Some interesting scenarios came up in that game. We'll talk about that in a second. But tough losses against the Kings and the Clippers. Also, some circumstances around those games. Anthony Edwards couldn't play the majority of the Sacramento game because of the birth of his child. But he was fully ready to go for the Clippers game and then not really so ready to go for the Trail Blazers game. But Artis, give us your quick recap of exactly how you're feeling about the Wolves, who still, ladies and gentlemen, still have the top seed in the Western Conference as we currently speak. Again, it just doesn't really necessarily feel as gaudy as maybe it has in past weeks. Right, Artis?
Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, it's been an interesting week. A lot of stuff is going on. The two stars on the team are just a little off right now. Anthony Edwards and Kat just seem to be off. And they're struggling to close games, man. It's the elephant in the room. Everybody's kind of talking about it. People are tired of hearing about it. They got like the worst offensive rating in the league right now in crunch time in the fourth quarter. So it's been a struggle. I think Ant at times is having a hard time, you know, reading defenses towards the end of basketball games. You know, teams are throwing some of everything at them. You know, teams are switching well with Karl-Anthony Towns and Ant. They got like a smaller defender on Karl-Anthony Towns, and they switch it in a way that now you got, for example, Paul George is guarding him. When you're hoping for an advantage, you don't get the advantage that you want because Paul George was initially guarding Karl-Anthony Towns. So things like that are happening. You know, I'm not hitting the panic button with the Wolves. I think they're still obviously in a really good spot. You know, you look around the league, you're seeing some of the top teams in the West also take L's. We just saw Denver take an L recently to the Phoenix Suns. You know, we've seen OKC take an L recently to the Los Angeles Lakers.
Well, D'Lo so in that teams, game, man. D'Lo was unconscious in that game.
D'Lo was balling. So, you know, we're seeing some other teams also hit kind of like some bits. We're also seeing some...
I saw the veins. I got to do it. I mean, that step back fallaway three he had, that was pretty sick.
Beautiful.
And that it was against the Thunder. Nice, it was like, thank you very much, D'Lo.
Shot every few months doesn't earn you anything. I'm sorry, D'Lo. I like where your head's at, but like, come on.
Oh, yeah. That's the biggest issue right now, though. Them just, you know, closing games. But when I look at the rest of the NBA, I mean, no team in the league right now. Denver's playing great basketball. Again, OKC is also playing great basketball, but they're also dropping games. You know, OKC was the number one seed for like a day, and everybody was like, oh my gosh, OKC, they're the team. And then they lost to LA, and everybody's like, oh, I guess the Wolves are back in first place. So it's like, it's, you know, it is what it is right now. I'm just looking like, look, it's 20 games left. It is time for them to ramp it up. They're going on a mean road trip right now. It's going to be tough.
Six or seven games
in there. I think there's Cleveland, Indiana, the Lakers, the Clippers, and then they also play the Nuggets three times this year end the season.
Yes.
And those games will probably be some of the biggest games of the year because the last thing you want is the Nuggets with home court advantage over the Wolves. It's not going to. I don't like it. But overall, I think they're in a good spot. I just think that they need to pick it up and figure out what they're going to do. In late game situations, I think they need to move the ball around a little bit more. I think it sticks to one player too much, whether it be Ant, whether it be, you know, Karl-Anthony Towns. And Ant is still figuring this thing out. He's young. So I think there needs to be more motion off the ball. There needs to be more ball movement. Play like you do in the first quarter in the fourth. There's so much movement and motion in the first quarter. And then in the fourth, it's like everybody's watching.
Yep. So watching for stars to do something in particular, which is in most cases.
I don't mind in most cases because you know, hey, crunch time is where the stars show up and make plays. That's where you get a ball. Sure.
I need those stars to win a playoff series first before I feel comfortable with that kind of situation, though.
Hey, they gotta do it at some point. I'm still comfortable with Ant in most situations, especially if he's feeling it. Get a ball to Ant, move out the way. But I think right now they need to move the ball. They need to move the ball a little bit more and get everybody involved.
Thank you for mentioning ball movement.
To make plays on the stretch.
Sorry. Thank you for mentioning ball movement because this is absolutely unacceptable, this stat. The Wolves were outscored 38-0 against the Kings and the Clippers in fast break scenarios in those two games.
I'm sorry for laughing.
This is the thing, though. That's so bad.
As bad as that is,
wow.
The game, you said the Kings and the Clippers, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
The Kings game went into overtime.
It did. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the Clippers game, Clippers won by 1 point. So, like, that's not going to happen every game.
No.
You're going to get some fast break points. The defense itself is too good to not force turnovers and get out for fast break buckets. So, if you're not playing that well, or you're not able to force turnovers and get those transition buckets, but you're still in these games, it's a good sign.
No, I mean,
I'm just happy this stuff didn't come back to bite them and take the one seed from them as we stand today.
I mean, this is a team that lost to Milwaukee, Sacramento, and LA by a combined 10 points.
Yeah.
And those are some of the elite teams in the NBA. Milwaukee's starting to figure things out finally. Doc Rivers, I think, is finally implementing the systems. I think things are just finally calming down in Milwaukee. They start to look like a team that will actually, you know, put up a good fight against the Celtics in the East. Clippers are going to be right there. And Sacramento is a pesky team, even though I know they didn't have De'Aaron Fox that night, but we essentially didn't have Anthony Edwards the whole time for most of that game, too. I got to address it because I know a lot of other people are talking about it, and we probably won't spend too much time on it because my two cents aren't too in depth with it because I don't think it's that big of a deal. But Ant missing tip off against Portland the other night. Now, granted, this man just had a baby. He's probably tired. If you are a parent of a newborn, you understand that you literally just get sleep when you can when that kind of stuff is going on. So I wouldn't be surprised if he took like a nap on the train table, lost track of time. Maybe he had to go to the bathroom. I know that's been brought up. Although I think Ant was asked about, they said, no, it wasn't a bathroom issue at all. Any cause for concern about this, guys? And I only bring it up also because there is also this tangential report about how Ant doesn't really participate in introductions and warm-ups and stuff. You know how, like, the PA announcer, now starting at shooting guard from the University of Georgia, number 5, Anthony Edwards. Ant, like, apparently for, like, half of the game, more than half the games this season, even going back to last season, isn't, like, a part of that. He's either in the tunnel or on the bench, like, doing his own thing to kind of get warmed up. Any issue with this, guys? Or do you think this is just no big deal
this
at all?
This doesn't matter at all. Apparently, it's okay. from my understanding, and I understand this because, like, a lot of hockey players have, like, routines and they're very superstitious about stuff to get them in the zone. From my understanding, Ant does, like, before the national anthem, before the player introductions, he goes off alone, like no media, no other teammates. He like goes somewhere alone to do some like stretching, like visualizing, get in the zone, do his own thing. And apparently like he just lost track of time. Like whatever his rhythm was, he was like slightly late to it. So his whole thing made him late or whatever, which is why he like ran out of the tunnel. Jersey was untucked and they were like, yeah, you're too late. We can't start the game with you on the floor. So he had to get checked in or whatever. So I don't care. You know,
I don't either.
You got a routine, but, you know, and what, how old is he? 22?
Two. Yeah. And this is also coming from the guy that last year called out the rest of the NBA for sitting players. And he's never sat out a game unless it's for injury, a baby, or this little pregame routine. So yeah. I don't find any. In fact, I kind of like it. And I didn't know that. I understand that the routine aspect of it, but I didn't know that was the case, the report. And I like that he's getting himself mentally involved without. I know how some people need the hype of other players, but like, you know, this is just about me for a second here. But being a wrestler and being in wrestling, you focus a lot on yourself and you don't. I've actually been late to a match when I was in high school because I was doing the same thing. I was out in the hallway, leave me alone. I got to focus on myself. I'm visualizing my match. Then my coach comes out, where the hell are you? Oh, there we go. We got to wrestle. So I get that and I appreciate that. So I don't think there's a problem with that.
Even if that's not true, I don't care. You know, if that's the lie they want to take, I don't care. Like Grant said, he plays enough. He wins enough. He's got that swagger enough. Like he's the guy. If he wants to show up late once every 50 games, I do not care.
I love you.
I do not. I also don't think it's a big deal. What I will say, though, is this. And again, I do think a lot of this is off the court. You just had a child. I understand, you know. And leading up to that, you know your girlfriend is going to have a child. So I know all of that is running through your mind. Also, though, down the stretch of the season, you know, you playing like the Blazers and all these other teams, and it's like, let's get the playoffs here. At the same time, though, he's been a little off, not only offensively, but defensively at times. There has been some defensive lapses now. He letting people cut right by him. He letting people get by him. He letting guys, cut by him, get rebounds, make plays. You know, so I'm not going to make a big deal out of that, even though my first thought initially was like, he's really off right now. This is just, he's off. Not only is he off offensively and defensively, but now he's late to the game. Not that big of a deal. But what I will say is, again, this road trip coming up with 1 and 3 being separated by a game, bruh, pick it back up. It's time to pick it back up, bruh.
Let's not have this happen again.
If the Nuggets get the 1 seed, it's chicken. And I'm just going to be the first to say it. It's over. the way they play, going and playing different in that altitude for a 7-game series potentially,
yeah,
it is chicken for anybody who wants to get beyond those guys to get to the NBA Finals if you let them get that 1 seed. So that's cool. We will forget about it if you come out here on this road trip and you beat Anthony Edwards. But I need him to be Anthony Edwards again now. Let's get back to it.
I thought it was way when I first saw the head. I wasn't watching the game. live. And so when I first heard the headline, no, Anthony Edwards is missing part of the game, I thought, oh, what? Did he miss like the first half of the first quarter, the entire first quarter? For it to be reported, I thought it was going to be a significant chunk. But then I watched the replay. Oh, he's at the scores table as the ball was tipping off. So it's like, it's not even like he was late for work. He was just late for a meeting. You know what I mean? And anybody just saying like, oh, have you ever been late for work? Well, yeah, sure. But like NBA players are supposed to show up like 2 or 3 hours before their actual game. So it's not like he was late for work. He was late for like a meeting. You literally can't miss. And he was in the game. He like played what, like 35 minutes. He still played his normal workload. He just came off the bench this season. So when you look into stat lines, it'll say he probably played 82 games and started 81. No big deal. If it is part of his routine, though, to like not be part of the like pregame introductions, to like be out there when your name's introduced, I guess, like, I don't know, like, does it really hurt? Because like the weird thing is that he does it sometimes and then he doesn't do it. So it's just like, why does the routine kind of shift where he does do it and not do it? And can we potentially readjust the routine where you're actually out there for the introductions? Because the fans are cheering for you. They're happy for you. They're screaming your name. They want to see you out there giving high fives and rounding up the people at Target Center.
Stop this. You want
Do you not know how marketing and in-arena experiences work?
You care more about him being out there and like Anthony Edwards and then running out with a spotlight than actually being
Yes,
in
the
6-year-olds
and the parents who pay to go to those games care about that stuff. Yes, in-game experience.
How about winning? How about winning the in-game experience? How about that? If you care more about him being out there for player introductions than being in the zone to win the game that you paid to see, we've got an issue.
AJ, I don't think it takes much for a professional athlete who's making millions of dollars to adjust the routines just a little bit so you're out there for pregame introductions. I don't think it takes much. I just don't. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just don't.
Tell you what, when you're at his level playing in the NBA, you tell me what your pregame regimen is, okay?
How about that? Crossovers.
How about that?
Okay. It starts with a nice protein shake and a kale salad.
Let the man warm up in peace, for God's sake.
I'm with you, AJ.
All I got to say, and I am too. All I'm saying is,
Artis is kind of with me a little bit.
When Giannis is cutting to the basket for a rebound and that's your assignment, box him out. When Kawhi Leonard is cutting behind you backdoor, you got it. And these are all crunch time moments, by the way. Cutting behind you for an easy bucket.
That's gameplay.
And.
Gameplay.
When there's 13 seconds left on the clock, don't dribble it down to 3 and then take the layup.
Oh, that was dumb.
But again, this is what I will say. This is why I say
if you would have been the player introduction, you wouldn't have forgotten about it.
But listen, this is the thing, guys. This is the thing, right? This is the thing. All of these moments just happened recently, right? Yeah. And there are, you know, it's not all his fault, but like they're a part of the reason why they're 2-2, you know? It's just over this last like 4-game stretch, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And moments like that, like if those moments didn't happen recently, then we're really brushing this off. It's whatever. But those moments happened on top of the late to the game moment as well.
Okay,
which is why I'm like, it's that one instance is not a big deal. But these other things combined with that, I'm like, all right, bro, it's time to lock in. That's what I'm saying. It just feels like he's off all the way around.
Yeah, and even without the Anthony Edwards thing, we can say that this team is playing a little undisciplined right now, right?
Yes.
And so I think that resonates true no matter what, no matter who's showing up late or not showing up late, no matter who's in pregame introductions and not in pregame introductions. That's just a fact across all of like just what is going on at the state of Timberwolves basketball right now. So I don't know.
Tell you what,
if I go to a Timberwolves game, though, Ant, you better be in that pregame introduction. I can tell you that much. I pay good money to see that introduction, sir. Good money indeed.
I don't even make it in time for those things.
If you're watching this on YouTube, let us know in the comments below if you care about that or not. I am heavy on.
Thumbs down.
It does not matter. It does not matter.
In the grand scheme of things, no, that doesn't matter.
His gameplay, like you're talking about, those mistakes, I will give you that. He needs to focus a little bit more and get things rolling, get back to the old Ant. I'll give you that. But the pregame, no, not a chance.
He doesn't need to be out there giving a high five to Crunch, the mascot. You know, it does that.
Oh, those are the best. Crunch gets up too. He's got a vert as well. Oh, it's the best.
Are you the kid of the game or is it your niece the kid of the game?
Oh, I want to take him to a game. So, yes, to answer your question, yes.
Yeah,
where's my popcorn, darn it? Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad I brought it up, though.
That was a fun one.
Really quick before we wrap things up here in Taxi Squad, AJ, are the Wild going to do anything at the trade deadline? Your quickest answer, please.
I don't know. That was beautiful. They extended the like one of the guys that it could have been traded. Yeah. Zach Bogosian gets a deal for a little over $1 million for the next couple of years. No trade clause there, so awesome to know that Bill Guerin knows that you don't have to throw those in just automatically. but I don't know. I'll give you a reckless take here. Maybe just this. I'm just pulling this out of nowhere, but I have a feeling that there potentially could be someone waiving their no move clause in order to be traded. And I have no inside knowledge. It's something in a gut feeling, a hunch, if you will. I know that, for instance, out east, the Rangers, they could be looking to add. And who's a former member of the Rangers on the team? Matt Zuccarello. He's beloved out there. It's a hard market to turn down. He'd be back in a very solid situation there. I don't think it's going to happen, but like if there's a move like that, I could see it being Zuccarello out to New York. That being said, Jake Middleton is somebody they could move now. It doesn't make sense. Like 2 years from now, when he's going to be 30, like to fit into your team, does he fit in when you look to re-sign him? I don't know. You're going to have this wave of younger players coming up. I don't think it necessarily works. So if like somebody comes calling, as good as he is, he doesn't benefit you now. And then the two goalies that remain, Gustafsson has...
he's not good.
I mean, he's got nobody no protection. He's got no protection, and he's been playing terribly the last like week and a half, 2 weeks now. So his what I thought was going to be a guaranteed first-round pick would now be like a third rounder, maybe a third rounder that is conditional to be a second rounder if they get to like the conference finals or something like that.
I doubt he'll go, AJ. I don't know. I just think he's played too bad this year. I don't think there's going to be much of a market. I don't think teams are going to be that desperate for Gustafsson.
I don't know. Teams are going to be desperate for goaltending. So it comes down to like how many doors close on them leading up to that deadline on Friday.
I mean, especially because it's already been reported that Fleury's not going anywhere either.
Right.
So that does take one potential player off the market.
But that was reported and came out when they were 2 points back of a playoff spot. They've sent distance that gap. So I'm not saying that it's out of the question, like completely, but I am saying like it's a better chance than zero that he gets traded. Because I think if a team called and was like, hey, Flower, you want to come be on a cup contender and maybe make one last shot at a cup? The guy's a competitor. As much as I think he would love to just kind of ride off into the sunset here with Minnesota this year, do whatever he wants to next year, whether that's extend, retire, sign somewhere else. Yeah. I think it wouldn't be an immediate no. That's just my intuition, my gut feeling. So
are they making the playoffs?
No.
Oh. The Wild? Oh,
the Wild? No.
Not anymore. Answer. No. So then why are we not trading?
Okay. Oh, it's gotten bad.
See how easy that was? No. Then why are we not actively trying to trade anybody?
It's not that we're not actively trying to trade people. It's just
nobody wants what we have.
We just have contracts that are issues. It's these no trade clauses on like, does Freddie Gaudreau have a no trade clause? Artist? Yeah. Or AJ, excuse me?
Yeah, Artist, does he?
I would assume so.
Does Freddie Gaudreau?
You get a no trade clause.
Does Freddie Gaudreau participate in pregame warm-ups and introductions? That's what I want to know. Sign him to a 10-year extension if that's the case.
Oh my god! You know no ball. You know zero puck if you're comparing Freddie Gaudreau and Anthony Edwards.
Zero puck.
Frankly,
it's a flip of the coin. If I ask you if any player on the Wild's roster has a no trade clause, more than likely it's probably a yes.
That's true.
Here's the main trade pieces that could go: Brandon Duhaime, Connor Dewar.
Do we want to do it too?
Who cares?
I'm sorry.
Emotional attachment. What do they add?
Nothing.
Are they good? Are they good like bottom six forwards? Do they work hard? Yes. At the end of the day, they're not benefiting you right now. It would be tough for them, I'm sure, emotionally. First time being traded, moving organizations, it breaks up the whole Dewey 1, Dewey 2 thing. We're not trying to be a family here. You know,
this is not your blood relative.
I want to win hockey games. I want to. I know. We sure as hell aren't doing that here in this season, in 2024. Doing that. We're going to look to next year. So if if trading Brandon Duhame is going to get you a third round pick, yeah, give it to me. Go play for a contender and be that pesky rat that we know you can be. I'll root for you. It'll be fun watching you. I'll help you pack.
Call the U-Haul.
I like your pack.
That's awesome.
Like, I enjoy that they're on the team right now, but yep. If they're on the team, and yep. If I hear that there was an offer that was turned down and it's something more than like a can of Coke and a side of fries, I'm going to be upset.
I love you.
Oh, yeah.
God, I love it.
But yeah, the trade deadline just a couple days away for the NHL. A ton of moves have already been made across the league. I even saw like the Calgary. It's not even deadline day. Yeah, but I saw that like Calgary already traded two players away, and they're above us in the standings. So if that should be any sign right there of what direction you should go, Bill Guerin with the Minnesota Wild, at least this season, it's probably that. You're not going to make the playoffs. You're too far out. And yeah, take calls on see if like Edmonton or Toronto, they should call on Marc-Andre Fleury. I mean, those are two teams that have been notorious for not having great goaltending, especially in the playoffs. And if I were those two franchises, I'd get on the horn of Bill Guerin. But we'll probably break down whatever the Wild do with the deadline next week, and obviously any other Wild news as well. But gentlemen, lively show. Fantastic. A lot of pregame introduction talk, which is exactly what I like out of my taxi squad.
Woo! Let me come in on this one hot day. Grant Wankstern in the show. Coming in hot.
Hailing from Eden Prairie, Minnesota, standing 5'9".
5'9" and a half to you. Oh, I love it.
That was a good question, Jason. I appreciate it.
You're
moment.
So welcome. That was fun. Hope the listeners and the viewers enjoyed it as well. Guys, we'll know where Kirk Cousins is next week by the time we record. Very likely. Probably won't be with the Minnesota Vikings, but we'll break down whatever decision him and his family make. Break down any other potential avenues the Vikings could go down if Kirk Cousins leaves the team. And obviously, we'll break down everything with the Timberwolves and the Wild next week, too. For Jason Stormer, that is me. That's Artis Woods. That's AJ Frederickson. Grant Wankstern from MyTalk 107.1 joining us again this week for a lively conversation here on the Score North Taxi Squad. We will catch y'all next week. And until then, have a wonderful week. Take care. Bye-bye now.